flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, kick topic of the day. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 12:03. Well, very, very simply stated, if the Knicks want to be kings, got to make a move. They have to make another move. You know, I think the easiest thing, and I'm going to do the opposite because I think it's the right thing, not to be a contrarian. I think the easiest thing to do is when things are going well, to buy in completely. I think that's the wrong thing here. Don't get me wrong. Knicks look really good right now. The Knicks are playing very well. I think more importantly, and we didn't see this for a while, they're playing for each other. I think their continuity and their chemistry and their gel is more and more apparent. Bridges is really, he just had a rough couple of weeks. I mean, he's been really good for a while for the most part. Bridges has been terrific. I think OG's seen a little bit of it. He spoke about this. I saw the interview the other night. Been more aggressive, and we know what they're doing. They're winning. They're scoring a lot of points. Back-to-back nights with 140 or more. First time they did that since 65. They're beating some better teams. They're protecting the garden floor. Fantastic. This is what you were supposed to do. The other thing you're supposed to do is be on the short list to get to a championship because you made the moves. You fired the bullet. You know, all those draft picks that you had, gone. There's not much more you can do, but there are a couple of players out there. Valanciunas is one, some others. You have to make a trade. I cannot rely on Mitchell Robinson. Now, I want to say this. We had, when did we have Ian on? Maybe 3 weeks ago? Does that sound right, Ian Begley?
About 3 weeks ago, yeah.
About that. So I think Ian does a really good job. Covers the Knicks, SNY. I've liked him for a while, and we had him on. And we were talking about this, and Sal didn't agree with me. We've differed a little bit on our Knick take this year. I've been a little more, I don't know if pessimistic is the word, a little more alarmed by some of the deficiencies. And I want to love this team, and I love last year's team. And I love the moves that they made this offseason, even though it hurt seeing some key components leave out of necessity. DiVincenzo, Randall, Hartenstein, obviously the three main ones. But you had to do that to take a big step forward, which I think that they could. But I cannot run the risk of Mitchell Robinson either, one, not being ready to play, or two, being ready to play eventually, coming back and going down after February 6th. Which is the deadline. It's January 30th. He has not been cleared for contact yet. Tom Thibodeau spoke about this at length last night. Now, he's been sprinting, doing some jumping. He's getting there. But I would rather be faced with an abundance of riches, okay, and maybe be criticized for that than being deficient in one spot when I've got about a three-year window to make a true championship run. I ain't messing around. I'm not going to mess around with this. So I'm making a move. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the fan. Let's get back to you guys. Also hit on some of the Jet stuff with Aaron Glenn's additions to the staff. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario? How you doing today?
Yeah, good. Nice show. Very excited about the Knicks.
Yep.
I mean, I really think that they can go a long way. And, you know, this one guy, Walker Kessler, that they were thinking about going after.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. I figured he's 7'2", 23 years old, good shot blocker.
Uh-huh.
And he only makes like $4 million a year, and I think they're looking to blow up. Which I think he's on Utah.
He's on Utah. Yeah, they're looking to do a lot of stuff. Yeah, they're rebuilding. Yeah, he's on Utah. He's interesting. That's a name that's been loosely connected to the Knicks as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. And I might keep Mitchell. If Mitchell can play good, but it's such a, like you said, it's you don't know, and you can't really bank on that. If he can play good, I'll tell you why. Right now I look at some of the odds, and some of the odds have actually the Knicks as third behind Oklahoma and Boston, right? And I think the Knicks can beat Cleveland, but a big way they beat it, they beat Cleveland in the past is Mitchell Robinson beat the heck out of those two big guys.
Yes, he did. Now they're hold on though, that's true. At Jared Allen, no question, but they are now more seasoned. They're a little tougher. Like when Mitch was feasting on those guys, they were pups. They're not pups anymore.
Yeah, but it was only a year ago.
I understand that, but there's something to be said for going through the rigors of a playoffs. I'm just telling you. And now, listen, Mara, that doesn't mean the Knicks wouldn't win. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the young players that they took advantage of in the middle, they are more hardened. That's all I'm saying.
But it would help to have Mitch there. That's all I'm saying. I'm not
going
to dominate like before.
Yep.
And that, what that does, too, will be, Tim, tell me if you agree. That allows, you know, I didn't realize how well Towns moves on the run. He's really pretty quick than I thought.
Yeah, he was laid last night a little bit. But and by the way, Jokic runs like he's 50 years old. My God, how is he like?
Well, he's slow. He's slow.
I know. But geez, he looked like a disaster last night.
Yeah, he's slow. I mean, it's unbelievable how good he is. You know,
he's good.
I mean, let's look at one more point. I'll let you go. Let's look at Brunson. Last year, he set the record for points in the paint by a guard of all time, 16 points in the paint. He's slow, he can't jump, and he's not fast.
I know.
And points in the paint.
Yeah.
So he's like a mini Luka or Doncic. Luka or Jokic.
That's an interesting call.
They're all
call.
Slow, they're all fast, and they're all great.
Yeah, no, good call, Mario. I appreciate it. You know, in a lot of ways, just when you describe the Jalen Brunson, the footwork, and listen, if Jalen's footwork is not if it's not amazing, then he's like an eighth man in the NBA. Like, if he had average footwork, I don't even think you would know who Jalen Brunson is. Really, we wouldn't know. Because I don't think he goes to Villanova. Probably goes to a smaller school because he could shoot a little bit. And that's it. And that's the end of the Jalen Brunson basketball career. But he is so adept. Like, his anticipation, his dexterity, how he anticipates, how he absorbs contact. And I keep going back to that video, which I love. I love the video when his dad is barking at him, do it again, do it again, do it, not good enough, not quick enough, do it again, when he was young. And that's amazing. You know, I've got a saying, and I think it's a pretty good one. I say, listen, what you do when nobody's watching determines what happens when everybody's watching. And now everybody has seen that video, so everybody's watching. But at the time when Jalen Brunson's dad, or I think his mom actually was recording the video, and nobody was watching except his mom and dad. It's like he put it out there. Oh, let me put this on Instagram. Let me make my son look cool. No, he's busting ass old school in the yard. In the park is what he's doing. So I look at him, and in a lot of ways, very different, like stylistically, flair, even skill set, like the dribble. But my favorite basketball player of all time had to be the same way. That's Chris Mullin. Like, if Chris Mullin didn't have that footwork, and Chris Mullin's probably playing. It's funny, we were just talking about Marist before. Chris Mullin probably plays at Marist instead of at St. John's and goes to the Final Four and wins the Wooden and is on the Olympic team and is a top 10 pick and is one of the 50 greatest players of all time and a Hall of Famer. Like, the footwork to me is amazing. Same with Bird. Like, that is work. Probably same with Dirk Nowitzki with that fall away. I just love that stuff. All right, 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Minus Sal, who was recovering, so we wish our guy well. How about Jose, Staten Island? What's going on, man?
How you doing, BT? How's everything?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
All right. Sal's doing well with his operation, right?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing okay. He was worried about it, but he's doing well. He's good.
Just tell him not to look at the Martha Stewart the thing.
Okay.
And he'll be fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
On a serious note.
The Martha Stewart. Oh, my. That's something from yesterday. Yeah, oh, God. Yeah.
the one thing, everybody's talking about Rodgers this, Rodgers that. The Jets also have to, before they even deal with Rodgers, they have to look at, because of cap room, they got about 5-6 guys that do new contracts, starting with Wilson. They got Gardner Reed. You got Hall, you got, which is the one I really think they're going to probably trade, because they got the two young guys that came up and showed potential running backs.
Brandon Allen.
And then you got the guy that really messed up everything for us, which is Riddick, because nobody knows what he's going to do because his contract is up.
Ugh.
But before you even decide about Rodgers, you want to keep him or not, even though Rodgers, I think, will make what, $50 million?
No,
this contract, unless, if he stays,
less than that,
45.
Yeah, I think
something
less than
like that. Break it up,
I think less.
Yeah, you know, but you gotta sign those guys first and see how you gonna do it. And another thing is, Wilson might not have said it publicly, but it's been whispers about that he doesn't like playing for a guy like Rodgers because Rodgers doesn't see him, and you know he throws it to his friend.
Yeah,
and you know that was always that little bit of a conflict or.
Jose, these are all things that Aaron Glenn and Muji are going to sit down and they're going to determine. Now, of course, he was playing a little bit of buddy ball, you know, trying to get some of those, what was it, 500 touchdown to Adams, you know, and Adams milestones. I get it. You know, when things went off the rails and the Jets were going to be a playoff team, you know, go to the guy that you know. Okay. Now, they're going to watch the All 22 and they're going to see a different vantage point. And you can tell that he was force-feeding him even just on watching on CBS or on Fox. And I can see why that would piss off Garrett Wilson. But like, if it's egregious, then that very well might. And I don't know that it was egregious. I think it was a little evident, but then I don't know if I could quite be prepared to say egregious. If they deem it egregious and they think that it's irreparable, well, then I think that you move on from Rodgers. Because at this point, Garrett Wilson's the bigger asset and the more important, although you can say quarterback's always more important than receiver, which it is, but based on the age, I guess I could see it both ways. You've got to, they're going to be objective. They've got no emotion in this. Their only emotion is geared toward winning. And, you know, they didn't acquiesce for Rodgers. They didn't fly to California to try to beg him to come and play for the Jets a couple of years ago. So they're walking in emotionless, noncommittal. They are looking for winners and guys that are going to play football the way they want, whatever their vision is. I think we all kind of know what that vision's going to be. Much like the Lions. Old school, little, you know, certainly aggressive, all in, play for the guy next to you. And they'll make those determinations. And whatever they determine, I'm going to be cool with. Now, if it's like, all right, we don't want Rodgers, but we're going to go with Jameis Winston? Or we're going to give big money to Darnold? Which, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm just throwing out examples. Or we're going to play Tyrod Taylor as a starter? Like, there's certain things I will push back on hard. I just won't accept. Because Rodgers is better than every one of those. He's better than anybody I think they could bring in. You want to tell me you want to go a little young and cheap with Fields? That's the one thing that I might be open to. But it's their show. It is their show. Let me get Rich and Bethpage back to the Knicks stuff. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Brandon. I'm pretty much from the same era as you, and I heard you talking about Julius Randle. Aren't you just glad he's gone because he's not wearing Bernard's number anymore?
I'm not glad that he's gone because of that, but it's always bothered me that they have not hung number 30 up in the rafters next to the other retired numbers. I don't understand how. Now, if he was not in a good relationship with the Garden, all right, and there was some other stuff going on, well, that's one thing. I would still have an issue with it, but he has ingratiated himself to the Garden. He's there all the time. I see Bernard King all the time on MSG sitting courtside. I don't know what the hell the problem is. Bernard King was, you would tell me, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, Carmelo couldn't hold Bernard's jock. Bernard King was an all-time Nick, man. And I don't get why number 30 is not up there.
The greatest. I don't miss Randall. The black hole, not because of his color, just because he never passed the ball.
Of course not. No,
and I think the new team is all Brunson and Brunson. Whoever they like, they're going to get.
Yeah. I think that they know that they probably have to do something. Thanks for the call there, Rich. Yeah, it's never about this and Randall. Like, I'm not going to say I'm glad he's gone, because to me that's just a little, I don't know, unnecessary shade. And I was a big Randall fan. I understand why they moved on. And I'm okay with it, is how I choose to frame it. But yeah, can we get 30 up in the rafters? And then at that point, if you want to put 7 up there, I'm not going to fight and kick and scream, but King over Carmelo. Inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair reminds you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. New buddy. How about Donald up in the Poconos? Donnie, what's going on, Donnie?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I'm watching the Knicks now. They're looking a little bit better, cohesive. I don't think they need to trade anybody because I don't think they got the draft capital to get anybody. And as long as he expands his rotation to maybe 9-10, I think they got a shot. I'm confident against Boston. You're right about Cleveland. It would be a game because they're more seasoned. But I'm confident in the Knicks.
Yeah, look, Donald, I'm confident too. I'm just not supremely confident. And,
okay.
And I'm trying to increase the odds of putting the Knicks in the best position to actually do something that I have never seen them do. And for somebody my age, I will put this on the record. And I have watched, I won't say more because that sounds like a pompous. I have watched as much Knick basketball in my lifetime as anybody my age. Period. So I want them to finally win. And I like to do something before February 6th because once that happens, now maybe a buyout can happen too, but you can't make a trade after February 6th. I'm not messing around.
Okay, but who would you get? What position?
Valanciunas. You got to get a big guy.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I like that. All right, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Donald. Thanks for making it. The Poconos. Yeah, I mean, think about this. If you're like, no, Knicks stand pat, don't do anything. All right, then don't come crying if Mitch is back and goes down again quick or Mitch is back and doesn't look the same or whatever because they're playing the Celtics and the Cavaliers three times in about a two-week span from February 8th through February 23rd. So if you don't want the Knicks to make a move because you want to roll the dice on Mitch's health, all right, that's a little too cavalier for me. No pun intended. I wouldn't do it. But if you want to do that, that's fine. Just don't come crying if they get spanked. Because they really, outside of the last week or so, they really haven't beat many good teams this year. Ed's in East Islip, and they've lost to too many teams that they shouldn't. What's going on, Eddie? How are you?
BT, what's up, man? Great job solo today.
I'm having a good time. I miss my guy, but I've done many, many solo shows in my lifetime here. So, fairly natural.
Not your first rodeo.
Not the first one, dude.
You and I are usually simpatico about a lot of things. You know, I just...
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jets roster, as everybody keeps talking about it, when you really kind of look at it with a little bit of depth, there's not a lot to love. Like, even our best guys, like Sauce Gardner, okay, where was he last year? You know, Breece Hall, it's kind of hard for me to totally bag on him, but, yep. Like, is he as good as the Cook kid is in Buffalo?
No.
You know?
No, he's not as tough. He doesn't run. No,
all of our
run
best
people.
Guys.
No.
Quentin Williams, when have you heard his name called?
Had a quiet
Quincy
season.
Williams, I had would say, is probably.
Big Q had a quiet season. I agree with that. Quiet season for Q.
Quincy, I would say, is probably our best player, I would say, on both sides of the ball, where it seems like every game he comes in, he does his thing. It's just D-line, the O-line, like, there's really not a lot of substance. How much better is the Jets roster than the Patriots roster? Not much, because we only won one more game?
I disagree with that. See, what you're doing, and I understand why you're doing this, and it's not a bad thought. Like, I do think, well, I mean, it proved to be this way, that the Jets roster was overstated by many, including me. But I don't think it was, I don't think it was grossly overstated. The Jets season was undone by a lack of discipline. So our last caller is talking about, like, players. Yes, they're not as good as we thought, but if you get a run stuffer, you get one O lineman, you get one safety, and you cut the penalties in half, now you're cooking. Now you're a wild card team. I'm not going to go nuts. Not much more than that. But, I mean, geez, how many times did the Jets have a lead late? Six times, right? Six times. I think they were 0-6 in games where they led in the fourth quarter, and they collapsed. So why did they collapse? Well, a couple times Rodgers just simply didn't get the job done. And now a lot of those games were earlier in the year, and he was a better player from the midpoint on. We know that. But a lot of that was undone by penalties. They're just too penalized. Now, I'm banking on Aaron Glenn changing that. And if he doesn't, that's going to be a massive red flag. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. As I was going through social media, I saw this was pretty interesting on the WFAN X account. Let's see if I agree. C-Mac ranks as New York teams that are closest to winning a championship. One are the Yankees. Two are the Knicks. Three are the Mets. Four, St. John's. Look at C-Mac jumping on that Johnny's train. Boy, Chris. And the Jets are, I guess, five, or tied with the Jets for with St. John's for four. So Yankees, Knicks, Mets, Johnny's, Jets. Do I agree with the... Let's first look at who's missing. All right, the Giants are missing. They're nowhere near it, so they should be off the list. Rangers are nowhere near it. Although, I mean, could, with the right move or two, I mean, could the Rangers fix this thing? Let's see. Forget about the Nets. They're obviously rebuilding again. Do I agree with the order? Yankees, Knicks, Mets. I mean, I would say based on the weakness and also the talent of the Yankees, the weakness meaning of the America League, I think their path would be quote-unquote easiest, though it's not easy to get to a World Series. So I think the Yankees would be first for me. Would I put the Knicks second? Celtics, Cavaliers, yeah, I guess I could get behind that. I mean, the odds of St. John's winning the championship, geez, that's a lot of wins. And I could see a couple of the wins. I'm not going to put a ceiling on Rick Pitino, but that seems a bit ambitious now. And they got to get Davon Smith back. And if he's back and they shoot a little bit better, then I could maybe see something nuts happening. The Mets, those Dodgers got to bring the odds down. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good list there when I look at it. I mean, the only thing when I swap out the Rangers for the Jets, but, I mean, how do you get behind the Rangers now? But then again, how do you get behind the Jets now? Interesting. Anyway, I just saw that. I figured I'd share it. All right, let's get back to you. 888-808-1019. Let me get Joey in Long Beach. Joe, what's going on, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon, BT.
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
I'm
glad you got two eyes. Good. I wanted to ask, when you say that there's not really a salary cap in Major League Baseball, and it's not our money that we're spending, but my one question is, how about the threat of seeing other teams using your tax money that could keep you from advancing? So it could be the Brewers. They may not win everything, but they could keep you back. Okay.
Oh, it's a tool. I mean, baseball's busted, man. Baseball's got some massive issues. I don't disagree with that, Joe. I'm not sure what your main point is, though, and I want to make sure that I do.
So what I'm a Mets fan.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's kind of overlooked sometimes that maybe Stearns is looking at other teams, specifically one that he came from, not having funds that could be used against him, and maybe Steve Cohen is savvy to that, and that might be something that's keeping them from going to sign Pete without deferring money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this Pete thing just needs to get... Thanks for the call there, Joe. I mean, enough with the Pete Alonso saga. I know I spent time on it yesterday because there was news. There was some further engagement between the two sides. Oh, my God. And you'd think that this guy was A-Rod in his absolute prime, opting out during the World Series. I mean, why is this so complex? He's good. He's not great. He's never going to be great. He's never going to be more than a one-tool guy. but he fits the Mets. And the Mets right now, I don't like their lineup. You know, I love Vientos. Soto's amazing. Lindor's a star. That's, you know, that's kind of where things end. I don't know about Alvarez. I don't know about McNeil. I don't know about first base. I don't know about, you know, center field. I like Nimmo. I do. And I respect Nimmo. But, you know, I don't think Nimmo's anything more than a solid complimentary piece. Mets have a little more work to do. They do. So just get this thing done. Come on already with the Pete Alonso stuff. Let me get, how about John in Westport? What's cooking, John?
Brandon, how are you? Hey, appreciate you taking the call. Couple things. One is just wanted to talk about Mitch and what I think might happen at the trade deadline. Okay. Also have a quick story about Chris Mullin that I want to tell you about in terms of playing against him in high school. But in terms of Mitch, okay. I don't think they make the move. I think they look at him and just say, hey, we'll wait for him to get healthy and have him as an asset in the playoffs. I think more likely is just given where they are with the cap, I think it's a buyout. I think after March 1,
yep.
they can get someone off the, you know, ideally there's some veteran that gets a buyout and the Knicks can sign him and, you know, that's depth. But
yeah, but Mitch, hold on a second, Mitch. Mitch, hold on. That's a little risky. Yep. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to wait for that. If he wants to go to the Lakers or the Celtics or the Cavs? I'm not, you got to make a trade.
Now, I don't disagree, but I just don't see Leon pulling the trigger on it.
Well, we'll see it in a couple days. We'll see it in a week. I hope, and listen, I don't know if I'm going to be right, and it's not about being right. I hope that he does, because I think that they need it, but we'll see. All right, give me the Mully High School story. Yeah. Where'd you go to high school?
All right, so I went to Regis. Right?
Oh, you're a smart one, huh?
It's my senior year. This is December 7th. So back in the day, every team, the CHSAA and the Garden, one team a year could play a game in the Garden.
Yep.
And my senior year at Regis, it's our turn to play in the Garden.
Okay.
So we get the date. It's like mid-December, and we call up Xavier, right? And we're like, hey, we're going to play Xavier, our rival, in the Garden.
Let's go.
This will be great. We had a good team. The date they give us, we're supposed to play Power Memorial at Power.
Oof.
So my coach calls Power and says, hey, can we switch? We want to play Xavier. We're playing the Garden. We want to play Xavier, our rival. Can we switch the dates? Power coach says, no.
Okay.
You got to play us. Either come to Power or we'll play you in the Garden. So who's on Power Memorial's team?
That's Mully.
Chris Mullin.
Yeah.
It's Mully's junior year with Mario Ellie on the team as well.
I know Mario Ellie. Yep.
Yeah. The two of them. So we wind up playing. Mullin's first game in the Garden was junior year at Power before he transferred to Xaverian.
Uh-huh.
We played against him in the Garden. And I covered him the whole game. They beat us. They were really good. We had a good team. They were better.
Uh-huh.
But I did outscore him.
No way.
I did. Well, the reason being, it was my stuff. I had a really good point guard who went to Yale.
Okay.
And we took all the shots. But Mully, between him, Mario, they had a great point guard. They had a great center.
They had divvied up a little bit.
They did. But it was what an experience.
That's awesome.
Just to have that experience and that. But that was Mully's first game he ever played in Madison Square Garden.
That's an amazing
story.
When he
was in high school.
That's good, John. I'm happy you made the call. Thank you very much there, buddy. Awesome. For some reason, I thought Chris transferred his sophomore year to Xavier because I know Power closed. But, wow, first time Mully ever played at the Garden. This guy that just called guarded him and outscored him. Wow, that's sick. Let me get, how about Tad in Wolcott, Connecticut? What's up, Tad?
Hey, what's going on, BT? Thanks for taking the call, brother.
You got it, man.
Couple questions with the Giants. Between Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, and Aaron Rodgers, who would be, or possibly trade for the guy in New Orleans, what would your be the choice if you were the GM?
For the Giants now. So Fields, Darnold, Rodgers, you talking about Derek Carr? That's the former Saints quarterback?
Those four options.
Oh, God. I got to be honest. Where you guys are, which is just not nowhere near. Oh, God. All right. So forget about Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers does absolutely nothing for the New York Giants. Zero.
Okay.
Darnold.
Okay.
I need the money. Like, if he gets to that $40 million range, I don't know how I justify that. So I would probably say no on Sam Darnold. I like Derek Carr. I don't love him. I don't love him for the Giants situation. A couple of years ago, I liked him more. I'm going to pass on Carr. It's funny. My answer to your question is the same as the Jets. Like, if the Jets move on from Rodgers, even though I don't want them to, Fields is the only name that's a little attractive. And as I go through this exercise out loud on the air for the Giants, Fields is the name that I come back to.
All right. Now, one other question, and then I'll let you go.
That's all right.
All right. Number three pick in the draft. Let's just hypothetically say Tennessee and Cleveland both take Ward and Shador 1 and 2. Okay, they go chalk.
Yep.
And we take Travis Hunter at 3. Between the following quarterbacks, whether it's late in the first round if we trade back or the second or third round, between Dart, Will Howard, maybe even Milroe
from Bama.
Yeah, and then let's just throw in Kyle McCord in there.
Okay.
Who would you go after?
Probably Dart, but I've got to do a little more research, okay, to be honest with you. Like, I want to give you a name, and that's the one that I've been. It's funny, you're asking me about the Giants, and I'm answering from the Giants' perspective, but both of my answers that I gave you for the Giants fit the Jets, too. No, except the Rodgers stuff. Like, Rodgers to the Giants, there's 0% that that's going to happen, and there's 0% chance that that makes an ounce of sense. It's just stupid. There's no way the Giants would want Aaron Rodgers, and why would he want them? I would probably say Dart. You know, it's funny. I heard Keith. Milroe was somebody that I was a little bit interested in earlier in the year. But admittedly, I've got to see him play a little bit. I've seen him play a little more going through the process here. Yeah, postseason All-Star games, the combine, obviously. And I heard Keith the other night, and Keith played high school and collegiate quarterback. He was a good player. And I really respect his quarterback analysis. He knows the position a lot better than me. And he actually shared the sentiment that I had about Milroe. Instead of looking for things that he did right, the things that he did wrong, I just don't love his arm slot, the way he throws it. And Keith said the same thing. I guess we were kind of harping on the things that he did wrong rather than the things that he does right. And there are some things that he does right. He's a sick athlete, man. And because it doesn't look conventionally smooth or polished, it's just not an elongated throw. I don't love his motion, but hell, I mean, not everybody's got a perfect throwing motion, you know, like Rodgers or Brady, you know, that's 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", perfect stature, fire back, let it rip. I don't know. I would say Dart, but I do need to see Milroe and the other guys, Howard too, and McCord, but I'd probably say Dart. Sponsored by Bet365. So, you know, obviously we're still a little ways away from the big one here, and we'll inch toward it, and we'll get into a big time next week. I got to pay off the bet next week. Me and Hoff, oh my God, that is coming. Yeah, we got to talk about that after, too. So it's a little tough to get into too much of the minutiae of the game now. I don't know that anybody really wants that. But while we know who's going to the Super Bowl, there's a guy out there who very well might be cut loose in the next month or so, who could help a team get to next year's Super Bowl. That's Matthew Stafford. Now, I think Matthew Stafford could absolutely still play. I thought he spun it. I was going to say spun it. Thank God. Well,
he can still spin it.
Well, you know.
I heard he's a spinner.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just say that, and I just think of the idiocy of Mike White and all the other stupid stuff that I said about the Jets quarterback. But he actually can spin it. He's one who can. And it's funny, as good a year as he had, and he was good, they were a playoff team. You know, Aaron Rodgers had like 7 or 8 more touchdowns than he did, more yardage, more touchdowns, just about the same amount of picks. So, like, that's what I mean. Like, we're so wrapped up in, you know, every little detail of our team, understandably, because it's our team, same with the Giants. But, you know, just 1 through 18 weeks, 1 through 17 games, Aaron Rodgers performed at a higher statistical level than Matthew Stafford. Now, I'm not saying that Stafford's not better than Rodgers. Like, if you said, all right, you could have your choice next year, from a Jets perspective, it would be Stafford or Rodgers. I don't know. I'd probably say Stafford. Maybe I lean on a little familiarity with Rodgers, with some of those guys, especially if Davante Adams is back. But I think the better player at this point is Stafford. And I think there's going to be some demand around the NFL for him. He's 37. And he can still play. He still wants to play. That's obviously why I'm even talking about this here. And he's due $27 million in 2025, but none of it's guaranteed. So whether it's the Rams or any other team, there's going to have to be a new contract worked out. You know, does he fit the Giants timeline? I don't think he does. I don't. And listen, both the Jets and the Giants stink. So I'm not trying to elevate the Jets falsely here. I just think, like most of you, think that the Jets roster is a little better at this point and that the division's a little more, quote-unquote, winnable than the Giants. You know, especially now with the Commanders coming up the rear and they got a young quarterback and obviously Philly's in the Super Bowl. And then, you know, Dallas has some talent. You know, once you get past the Bills, if you ever can, and I know the Bills have a lot of financial issues going into next season. Not that they can't play with the money to make it work, but they gotta jump through some hoops to retain some guys and build out that roster. You know, what about the Dolphins, the Patriots? Not yet, even though I love Vrabel. So I think many of us think the Jets are closer, and I think we're right. So of the two teams, would Stafford make any sense if Rodgers retired? Well, maybe. I'm not necessarily looking to swap them. And from a Giants perspective, I would probably say no. I don't think I would. That just doesn't feel right. All right, the road to New Orleans on the Fan, sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Now, what other teams could even possibly, before I get back to these calls here, little Knicks, little Jets, who could even possibly want him? Let's just take, we've done this with other guys. Let's see here. Hell, we've done it with Rodgers. If he's not on the Jets, where could he play? All right, so nobody in the AFC East. Maybe the Browns. I don't know if Stafford would go there, but like the Browns could use a quarterback. The Steelers could use a quarterback. That's two. Not the Texans. Maybe the Colts. Excuse me. Not the Jaguars. Not the Titans because they'll draft somebody. Not the Broncos. Not the Chiefs. Maybe the Raiders. So there's three or four in the AFC. Not the Chargers. Not with Herbert. Dak is in Dallas. Giants, yes, but for a quarterback, but not him. Eagles, no. Commanders, no. Bears, no. Lions, no. Packers, no. Vikings, no. They've got the Penix, who they drafted, obviously, Darnold. And they got Jones still, right, I think? Falcons. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. McCarthy's Vikings. Penix is Falcons. Panthers, no. Saints, maybe. Bucks, no. Cardinals, no. He is currently a Ram. Niners? Yeah, they're not doing business with them. And Seattle, probably not. I mean, there'd be a market for Stafford, that's for sure. But I don't see him coming to New York. All right, 888-808-1019. Let me get Matt in Sayville. Matt, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, BT, how are you?
Okay.
Real quick on the Yankees opening day lineup. I think we need, we're still one move away from having a serious team. We can't be starting Oswaldo Cabrera on opening day. I love the guy. He just has been given so many opportunities, and he really hasn't stepped up and done what he needs to do. And DJ LeMahieu, love him. He was great for us for a little bit, but
yeah,
it's time to move on and get a serious third baseman or second baseman before we start the season off.
Well, all right, listen, you just happened to bring this point up, so I'm going to say it directly to you, but Matt, I'm going to say this by extension to every Yankee fan that believes what you just said. Now, I'm not saying it's you know, out of the park, it's like it's baseball lunacy. I don't think you're wrong, but let me just stabilize things a little bit. Let's say the Yankees don't make a move for the third baseman that you think that they should get right now, right? Whether it's Arenado in a trade, Bregman, we know the names, right? Do you think do you think right now the Yankees are a 90-plus win team and are a playoff team right now? Right now, today?
Yeah, it's a ho-hum team, I think.
Hold on. But do you think they're a playoff team? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so do I. They're going to win 90-something games with their eyes shut. Their staff is loaded, Judge is the best, their bullpen's sick, and they're going to catch the ball, they're going to run better. They're a playoff team. So I would tell you, Matt, and I really mean this, since I'm not trying to be an ass, like, don't worry about, like, the pomp and syrup, you know, and opening day at the stadium. You know, the third baseman, Alex Bregman. Yeah, it sounds good when he runs out there on opening day with the red, white, and blue bunting. I'm less concerned about opening day, and I'm more concerned with the World Series and the playoffs. If they really need somebody, they can get somebody.
Yeah, we need the defense. That's what I would like. I know Urshela's gone, but someone like that, Gold Glove corner infielder that we can trust.
I understand what you're saying.
Kick the ball in the World Series and lose it for us.
Yeah, it's a brutal way to lose, Matt. And the Yankees know that, which is why they have an upgraded defense in Goldschmidt over Rizzo. That's why Jazz, I believe, he'll go to second base. That's his natural position. That's what Boone told us in studio the other day. And he's just better. He's quicker. He's better than Glaber. Volpe's a vacuum matured. You know, listen, I think third base could be competent. I don't love it. I'm not saying I believe in DJ. I like Oswaldo as a backup. But yeah, I mean, ideally with some lefties, you'd like to see a guy who could pick it at third. And I think that when it's time to get somebody, they will. Jose in Congers, New York. What's going on, Jose?
BT and Sal, good morning. How you doing?
What's going on, dude?
Well, I just want to extend my well wishes to Sal on his surgery, and I want to talk a little St. John's and Rick Pitino. It's a unique coaching situation to be successful out in Queens like that. So I think we're on the verge of a renaissance with St. John's and the Knicks. I was a big Chris Mullin guy, Walter Berry. I never really understood why Walter Berry, with his unique skill set, never made it in the NBA, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some stuff. I would think from a basketball perspective, he never really got a jump shot. He was kind of around the rim, and he was only 6'7", 6'8". But Walter Berry, oh, my God. Walter Berry, to me, first, he's one of my favorites. Walter Berry.
Yeah, no, he was just the lefty in him, and he kind of, he rounded out that team really nice.
Yes,
know?
He did. He won the Wooden Award. He was phenomenal, Walter Berry, my God.
I want to, transition with him, with Walter Berry and Mitchell Robinson. You
okay.
Know? And I think a lot of times you're the great evaluator, and I love the way you talk to the fans and you break down kind of what's happening with our teams, you know. But I think that sometimes there's, context and talking points, you know. I think Mitchell Robinson has that unique skill set with his defensive presence and his rebounding. He doesn't necessarily have to have the ball and shoot that's not his game at all, you know. And I think last year what happened with him, you know, his injuries were the result of, you know, being taken down by the big fella in Philadelphia, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you're right that this is very pivotal for the Knicks right now, you know.
You
either trade him and you get better, or you keep him and you use his unique skill set to try to, out the big man the other teams, you know.
Well, Jose, let me ask you this. All right, let's crack the nut. Do you want, let's say the score is 91-90, Knicks up, Knicks down a point. Either way, it doesn't really matter. It's fairly insignificant. One possession game either way. 3 minutes and 12 seconds to go. Eastern Conference game 6 at Indy.
Ooh, you got me excited.
Well, no, I'm moving too, but maybe you're not going to get excited by this variable. Do you want Mitchell Robinson on the floor in that situation?
You know, I think that Mitchell Robinson will get him to that situation, though.
Whether he's on the floor
at 91-90, he'll get him to that point.
That's not what I'm asking.
He'll get rebounds and he'll block shots, especially against Cleveland. You remember 2 years ago against Cleveland, he was dominant in that series.
Those guys were pups, man. Josh Allen was wearing a Jared Allen was wearing a diaper. They were little guys. They were pups.
That's true. But he was, in a 7-game series or
good.
However long that series went,
no,
he was the guy.
Yeah,
know?
I know. He was good. Listen, I get it, Jose. And I hope that he comes back and he balls. I'm not saying get rid of him. And I'm not saying don't play him. All I'm saying is make sure you have some insurance. Because if there's one thing we know about Mitchell Robinson, his block shots, his offensive rebounds, his help to defend, work and move his feet and go foul line extended and then drop back and then protect the rim and all those things that he does, which we all know because we all watch him. Understand this, he's not physically reliable. And I'm dotting every I to make sure that I don't get burned. That's it. That's all I'm saying. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.